You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Happy New Year! Man, what a crazy... That's so weird, man. My financial mastery card has that verse on it you preached out of today. It's got to mean something. So I'm pumped about this morning. If you didn't know that about myself, it doesn't take much. The wind could blow and I get excited. It's true. That's why God brought me here. Because there's a lot of fired up, excited people that love God and have a purpose. And the thing is, if you don't really know, you all have a purpose. All of us. And it's amazing how it changes over time. And I thought there'd be no greater purpose than what I do as a professional. I thought, how could I be more fulfilled than what I do every day, Monday through Friday? Matter of fact, my wife gets irritated because it's Monday through Sunday for me. Those of you who don't know, I deal crack for a living. I'm a chiropractor. It's good crack, people. Matter of fact, Pastor Jurgen says the best crack in town. But I thought nothing would be a greater purpose than that until I came to C3. That's funny, I grew up a Christian. Did my own thing for a while. And then I saw power for the first time. So I'm going to give you a message today that rocked me before it's going to rock you. And you know God does that every day if we seek Him. He will rock you every day. Anybody need a little rocking besides me? If you want to see 2017 be different than last year, you just got to put God right in the middle of it. I didn't know that before. I put God around me, but I just didn't have Him next to me. That's all the difference. I didn't start throwing Bibles at people. I didn't start preaching differently to people. I didn't judge people. Jesus didn't do that. All He did was love people. And the more He loved, the more He got filled with compassion, and grace abounds. That's it. That's the story. I mean, there's way more to it. I haven't even got to my sermon yet. But, you know, I'm going to be preaching out of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four Gospels. And the funny thing is, the more you get into it, thanks, guys. I actually, the anointing's still here, but that music does do something to you. I almost felt like Justin Timberlake was going to start playing. And I do that every time. I don't know what it is. I saw that movie Trolls. I got that feeling. Oh, it kills me every time. No, I'm not going to sing it. If my little girl was here, I would do it. But so anyways, I'm gonna give you something to chew on out of Mark. But I want to give you context first. And the title of my message is Breakthrough and Breakout. It's really the four keys to living the epic life. I mean, I thought my life was already epic. And then God keeps doing more. Better friendships, better relationships, better experiences, more blessing. I get to see people healed. I get to see people meet Jesus for the first time and a like light bulb goes off and they're forever changed. I get to hang out with the most amazing people in the world right here. You know the only reason my wife and I still live in San Diego is because of this flipping church? Kills me. So we'd be out of here. One more tax increase, I'm out. And then guys, God just says, why don't I give you increase and stay? Increase in friendships, increase in finances. Keep raising those taxes and I'll keep praying for more increase. I don't care. God has a different economy. Side note, someone need to hear that. All right, context. We're in Mark. Bottom line is this. It's like Jesus' coming out party. So John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Holy Spirit falls on him, starts walking in power. Satan immediately comes and tempts Jesus. Just giving you context. Sometimes there's a temptation. Jesus pretty much crushes him. Then he's looking for some disciples. He's looking for people to pour into. He needs some great friends. He's going on a journey together. Then we're fast-forwarding just a little bit longer down in Mark. It's still in the first chapter, by the way. He starts casting out unclean spirits. What he's doing is setting people free. And so let's just say that he started here, right here in Kearney Mesa, Jesus, and he starts cruising up the coastline, Carlsbad, over to Vista, Escondido, and he starts making his way down the 15. That's what he's doing. He's just traveling around, busting some stuff loose on people. Peter's mother-in-law gets healed. I mean, how many know if Jesus is going to do it, he's going to heal a mother-in-law? You know it's a legit ministry. If the second thing, it goes unclean spirits, and then he heals a mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. Karen, you're amazing. Hope you're listening. Then he goes on and he does some preaching. Then he cleanses a leper. And it was amazing because the one point I want to bring about this is when he cleansed that leper, the leper had a thought that he wasn't worthy or it wasn't in God's will. This isn't even in my preaching notes, but I really felt this morning during worship, some need to hear that. Maybe you're thinking breakthrough in 2017 isn't God's will for you. But I want to tell you right here, in chapter 1, when he cleansed his leper, in verse 41, he said, I am willing. He says, I am willing. Jesus is always willing for your breakthrough. And then we get to this part. Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. And that's what I want to read to you this morning so we can rip this thing open. So let me see. Jesus, again, he entered Capernaum. After some days, it was heard that he was in the house. Here's the bottom line. Jesus made the trip around. He ended up back in Capernaum. He was building momentum. He was already there, but no one knew him. He received some power. He went doing some crazy things. He showed back up right here in this place, and he says, Jesus was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even the next door, and he preached the word to them. Just like in this house, every seat, see it filled. See it filled. You know, if there's miracles, people getting healed, breakthrough in your life, do you think this place will be packed? Even at 8:30 on New Year's morning. If people knew what Jesus could do in their life, guess what? This place would be overflowing. Because the word had got out. The difference in San Diego, the word hasn't got out yet. But it will. And you'll know what I'm talking about. So then they came to him. It says, immediately people gathered, and there was no longer room, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Just remember that. A dude carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So they had broken through. They let down on a bed that the paralytic was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus to themselves, he said to them, why reason about these things in your heart? Pretty much don't waste your time. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose, took up his bed, and he went out to the presence of them all. So they all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Let me pray real quick. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you that I get to the honor to stand in this pulpit, that I can preach from your word, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you prepare the hearts, that you, God, open our hearts, our minds, God, nudge us this morning. Let us be bigger. Let us do more. God, show us the vision of who you created us to be. God, with you in our life, we are unstoppable. So, God, we give you honor this morning. And all the people said, amen. Amen. All right, let's do this. So, just want to give you four things that have really impacted my life, that have made a difference. And this verse and this passage and this all... this context, if you go unpackage this thing, there's way more than this. I literally could do all three services on a different part of this message. That's how powerful this one thing is really, and God has unlocked this thing for me. But the point number one, now that you have the context of what Jesus was doing, is the bottom line comes down to what are the four things in our life that are going to make 2017 better than 2016 if we apply these four things? And here they are. Super simple. It's like the Forrest Gump of preaching right here. all of you can swallow this. It's not a fire hose of water blowing you out here. But number one, have friends. Be a friend. I mean, really, it's such an easy thing. I just see that this world, especially into the Christmas season, is so lonely. Are you the type of person that could add value to somebody else's life? What kind of friend are you? See, in verse 3, if I read this, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Who has time for that? Take one of your friends, try to bust open a house, let alone you can't get in. How many people that you know, I look at my friendships, I'm like, wow, they are so different than when I got married 10 years ago. I look at the people in my wedding party who I love, but where are they 10 years later in my life? What if something was going down with me? This is what the revelation was. When I was crushing it, making money, and looking at the lifestyle I was living, partying downtown, getting bottle service, I looked at the people around me. Where would they be when maybe I'm going through something? Right now they're here, but are these really the friends that I want in my life? It was amazing. I didn't have to do anything. I just made a decision to have purpose in my life that I set a bunch of core values up. And I said, I want people to align with my core values that are going to make me a better man, that are going to make me a better friend. Because guess what? When this guy, maybe he wasn't always a paralytic, but what happened is four of his friends said, I heard about this dude going around San Diego. He's in the house right now in Kearney Mesa. We are taking you there no matter what. And they showed up and the parking lot is full. The line's out the door. How many of our friends would maybe go, dude, it's too busy. We'll come back another time. Not these four friends. You know what these four friends did? They said, forget about it. We'll find a way on the roof. Imagine right now. They started ripping open the roof to drop him down. Do you think that's an inconvenience? They didn't care what they looked like. They didn't care how they felt. They didn't care what it took. They knew their friend was going to get a miracle today. Those are the friends that I want in my life. They came to him bringing a paralytic who they carried by four men. Here's the key. No one comes to faith alone. Someone invited you here. Who are you inviting? You know, it's funny, back in the day, I wanted everyone to experience what I experienced. And so I invited all my core friends. We did the Landmark Forum because I had breakthrough in my life. And I said, man, I want other people to get that's what I thought I knew at the time. And I wanted to create possibilities and do all this great thing. So guess what? I put all these guys, it did change every one of us. And we started communicating and holding ourselves to a different level of integrity. But that was the world. And then when I got plugged in here, I said, man, I want those same guys to get plugged in here so they can walk in power. Because what if I had a friend that was laid up in a hospital that needed some prayer? Because the thing is, I did get that email. And I did say, I'm going to show up. And it was Pastor John. But it wasn't me because I didn't have the courage to pray for my friend in the hospital. But I knew someone that did. And I invited him. And he showed up and went after it. Actually changed the course of Pastor John's life. He was a successful real estate guy that gave it all up to do ministry. And I don't think he's regretted it ever since. So I challenge you. These men cared for a person. Their passion led them to an action plan. Then they accomplished the goal and their friend was healed and forever changed. I just want us to all look at that. Gallup study in 2006 said a lack of friendship. So they took a study, they did this survey, they found these people don't have friends, these do. And over a three years, they found out that lack of friendships lead to an increase in failed marriages, increase in obesity, and 1 in 12 lose their job within 3 months. Whereas the other group, it was 1 in 62. All due to having great friends in your life. Another case study out of the Eith University in Perth, Australia, said an increase in delivering more due to accountability, increase in success, increase in motivation, increase in engaged and satisfied at work, and increase in hitting their goals just by having friends in their life. And Jesus is saying right here, it took four guys to bring their friend to get his healing. So the application, what could your family, your friends, your office, your connect group do to create real change in other people's lives? It's almost like sowing and reaping. Sowing to other people, watch the harvest. It's worked for me, I promise. I won't tell that story. Number two, be interruptible. I came and just did a little mini thing to the staff over here and I wasn't even planning on it. But I realized during the Christmas season, we get so caught up. I was so busy. I was crushing goals. I was trying to wrap my ear up. I just realized I was getting annoyed at little things. It's almost like, you know, have you ever had the fire alarm beeping in the middle of the night, 2 a.m.? You beep. You're like so irritated. You think you can sleep through it. Finally, you're up on a ladder ripping the thing down just to find out the one downstairs followed in sync. Just like a couple weeks ago, God woke me up, no joke, said to start praying. I looked at my clock, it was 3 a.m. I said, are you kidding me? I'm going to be up at 4. It was Tuesday morning for men's prayer. I'll be up at 4, God. I'll do it then. On the way down, I'll pray. Woke me up again at 3:30. I literally felt like my daughter, who crawls in bed all the time, which I love, my wife hates. Sorry, babe. I felt like she slapped me to scoot over. So I rolled over thinking my daughter was climbing in bed. It just didn't happen. I woke up again, freaked out. My daughter wasn't anywhere. Matter of fact, still in her room. I knew that was God telling me to get up again. Yet, I looked at my alarm. I'm like, 20 more minutes. How many know at 3-something, 20 more minutes makes all the difference? So I slept in. Missed both my alarms, or they didn't go off. Missed men's prayer, and it was a really big morning. All because I wasn't obedient. It's pretty amazing. I wasn't able to be interruptible. Another point, be interruptible. When Pastor John's wife sent out an email saying, I need prayer for my husband, it was the first time in my life I said, man, this is my friend. Yeah. I had the ability to be interrupted, and I saw the fruit of it, which changed course. Yeah. It's amazing that I never looked at an interruption as an opportunity. But God has showed me over and over and over again, every interruption is an opportunity. I look at Pastor Becky that just met a girl in Panera Bread parking lot that sat and talked to her, loved up on her, everything, that she came, got radically impacted and been plugged in church. Just from her being able to be interruptible, that's why I love Pastor Becky. She has story after story after story. My story is that my best friend from grad school heard Pastor Jurgen up at this, up in Seattle. Before he was really even in America, that was his first preach. And then he was moving to San Diego, and my best friend blew up my phone and said, hey, I just thought I'd tell you, I just heard the best sermon of my life. Top two for sure. Wow. And my whole point was, and I was so far gone at the time, he goes, so God told me to go talk to him. And I said, what's your point, man? Why are you rubbing this in? There's nothing like that for me down here. And he goes, that's my point. He's building a church in San Diego. I went and got his phone number. Could you imagine my friend got his bell rung, loved me enough to go chase down this pastor? Could you imagine what that would look like? Beeline for the pastor, got the pastor's phone number, and said, my friend in San Diego needs you. He's going to call you. To the point where he called me every day until I followed through and called Pastor Jurgen. And I told my CA, I'm like, listen, I got to go meet with this pastor. Call me after 30 minutes and just tell me I have a new patient. I sat down, that 30 minutes turned into 3 hours, and I've never looked back. I've never missed a Sunday, and I don't plan on it. And my life's... My friend interrupted a pastor that was okay to be interrupted, to interrupt my life and get me set back on course. Sometimes we need to start looking in our life. Are we too busy that we aren't allowed to be interrupted anymore? When I go home now, I want my little girl to interrupt me every day because I got years until she's all grown up and doesn't want to hang out with daddy. I purposely, when she comes up, but why have I made it such a focus to put my girl as a priority? What about people that maybe need to interrupt me? Am I too busy for them? Just stuff to think about. See, I was that paralytic on the mat. I just didn't know it. Some of us are still on the mat today. We're still paralyzed. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's debt. But we're paralyzed in some area of our life. And And we just need someone to come interrupt us to get us off that mat, to maybe take us to where Jesus is going to be so we can get healed and set free. It's amazing to think about. But someone had to interrupt us sometime. Application, who is God calling you to see as an opportunity instead of an interruption? Be the invitation. How many of you were invited to C3 by somebody? Look at all those hands. It's usually not someone's like meant to take a right over to 24 and they accidentally took a left. Yet that has happened because God interrupted them. But I'm saying let's not leave it all to God for the heavy lifting. Let's do it. Number three, inspire others. It's funny. How many people live life just like, I went to Starbucks at 6 a.m. and I walked in, I'm like, Happy New Year. And the girl's like, yeah, whatever. And the other girl goes, you can't say that. And I go, yeah, you shouldn't say that. Starting off rough, girl. Switch out a shift next time if you can't handle the heat. I said, can I buy you a coffee? We get them for free. Okay. I'm preaching at the 8:30 and 12. I'm not very inspired. Please don't make my coffee. Can you make my coffee? The other one's like, yes. Choose to be better, not bitter. See, in verse 5-7, I just want you to get this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. He was inspired by those four dudes that broke open a roof, dropped him down, interrupted Jesus. How many knows how, every story, I think Jesus was interrupted somewhere. Walking through a crowd, chick reaches out, boom, interrupts him. Hey, who touched me? He was walking somewhere, some dude in a tree is yelling at him, hey, Jesus. He stops, starts hanging out with the tree guy. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus is interrupted, and he loved it. And then he was inspired by these people, so he's like, what the heck? Let's heal that guy. I'm inspired. And then guess what? Jesus went on and they said at the very end of verse 12, we never saw anything like this. And they glorified God and were amazed. Then because Jesus was inspired, bam, then he inspired an entire city. That's how you spread the gospel. You live inspired. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Come on. Half the time I don't do anything, but guess what? I wake up pretty inspired. And if I ever have a down day, you know what? I go to YouTube. You cannot watch the news and be inspired, I promise you. You're asking to go reverse. If I literally feel like, you know what? I need to get in touch. I'll get on YouTube and I literally get a good crying. Or I'll watch an inspirational movie. I just, what was the name of that movie? You guys gotta watch it. Courage Beyond the Game. It's about this Texas Longhorn safety. It was called My All-American is the name of the movie, but it's based on that book, Rock My World. I just watched it the other night. It was bawling. I was like, thank God my wife passed out so she can't see me cry again. It was so inspiring. I'm telling you, watch it. But inspire others. Jesus faced criticism, but he still acted. Talks in the verses that these scribes were all ticked off that he was healing. Who is this guy to forgive sins? He was criticized, but he still acted. Jesus faced confrontations, but still forgave. How are we in those areas of our life? Because what happens is usually when we face criticism and we shut down, we can't live inspired again. But if you have the right friends in your life, they'll get you back on that track. When we're faced with confrontation, Jesus brought it, or those four guys brought those friends to Jesus, they had a confrontation and they overcame it. There's nuggets all throughout this word. What would happen if we trusted Jesus more? Here's a real life application. Where's Jeff? Jeff, stand up. Come on, man. Let's give a round of applause to this guy right here. Turns 25 next week. He's single, ready to mingle for all you ladies. But I'll tell you about this guy, because he inspires me. And I'm trying not to get it choked up. But I didn't know this guy a couple years ago. He had such value to my life. This guy comes to prayer every Tuesday morning, faithfully serves in church, was in the Hero last year. I saw it on the screen, didn't even know that. And he was just in the Christmas Carol production, jamming on a violin. How many saw that? I'm telling you, I was already inspired before that. I didn't even know he knew how to play that. And then I watched him up here, and I got choked up watching him. I couldn't even take my eyes off him because it was amazing. Because he's stepping into his calling. And this is, I haven't even got to the inspiring part yet. Works for a huge company. 24 years old at the time. And this managerial spot opened. This is a big company, a manager. He said, it means prayer. I'm going for it. God dropped it in my spirit. I prophesied over. God showed me he's going to have that job. I prophesied. That's a bold prophecy. He's like, I'm going to go after this. They say I'm too young, but I'm going for it. And God tells me he's going to get it. Pray for him. Prophesy he's going to go get it. Guess what? He applied for that job. He didn't get it. But he didn't get bitter. He got better. He put his head down. He came in. He was disappointed. Came to men's prayer around some friends that encouraged him, lift him up. I was dealing with it. I'm like, God, you gave me a word saying he'd get that job. He was going to be a manager. Not later. You didn't say in 5 years. You didn't say in 3 years. So I was ticked. And I was praying even harder. And I watched his attitude. And I said, I want friends like that in my life. With he gets kicked right in the not a good area. But he's still smiling, still faithfully showing up on a Tuesday, still serving in church, not giving up on the promises of God because he's full of faith. I was inspired. A couple months later, someone out of the blue, because they said that position will reapply in a year from now. But because someone suddenly retired, someone came to him and said they were so impressed with who he was, his character, how he acted, they asked him to reapply. He reapplied. The whole country was going for that shot. And he got it. That's not the inspiring part. The inspiring part is another guy from here at this church was driving Uber. Four people get in that all work for the same company. And he goes, hey, I happen to this goes to the guy, blah, blah, blah. His name's Jeff. Oh my gosh. Can you believe that guy? He's one of the hardest workers. He's so inspiring. Man, he was so full of faith. He always comes to the office. And man, he went for this position. He got it because of his attitude. We want to be just like him. His team is killing it. They want to serve him. Who do you want on your team? Get around inspired people. Thank you, Jeff. I'm glad you're here. It wouldn't have been as cool if you weren't. Can you come back to the 12? And my fourth point that I want to end on, just believe. I'm not talking about Justin Believer, okay? Just believe. Verse 10 to 12. It says right here, but you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And this paralytic, paralyzed, stood up, grabbed his mat, and left. He believed. And because of that, he was healed. Chuck Swindoll says, faith is believing in advance what can only be understood in reverse. You can chew on that. Here's the key. Jesus restores. Jesus always goes above and beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. Look up the verse, Ephesians 3:20. It's powerful. I just want to end with showing you this video real quick because what I want you to understand is some of you may have never experienced Jesus for the first time. What would that even feel like? What would it look like? Or some of you met Jesus but forgot your first love. I want to show you this video about people that experienced something for the first time. And I want you to look at the joy in their heart. And if you can't see yourself in that picture when you met your Savior for eternity, then I want you to get back and open your heart because maybe there's a callus on it. And I want you to get it raw because each one of us, when we meet our Savior for the first time, should feel and act just like this video.
Recording, Lachlan.
First
hearing aid.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the big moment here. She's gonna hear something. We don't really know what.
I'm gonna roll silent for pushing your head just a little bit.
There you go.
It's creeping. So now technically your device is on.
Can you tell?
You just said you hear it.
Hey, eyes down!
You're hearing yourself better.
Okay.
You can cry.
Hi, Cooper. Hi, Cooper. Hi, Cooper.
Pop. I know I look like an elderly munchkin, but do I sound like one now?
Is it on?
My God, I can hear myself.
Yeah. That's good.
It's okay.
Blue.
Orange.
Red.
Black.
Oh,
purple.
What do you think?
What is it like?
Yeah. Okay. So different, dude.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Sound clear or does it sound muffled?
Sounds clear.
Come on, how good is that? My eyes sweat every time I watch that. What about people of, that's hearing, deaf their whole life and that they heard for the first time. But how many people have been lost their whole life and don't know their purpose, don't know Jesus? We have the power to get that reaction just by an invitation to church. You are not responsible for how people respond to the truth of the gospel. Your responsibility is to give the truth. It's God's responsibility to lead them to believe it. That's it. So if I had to leave you, it's just some thoughts. I know we hit those 4 points, but let me flip them on you. Let Jesus be your aha moment this year. Let Jesus be your friend. Let Jesus interrupt you. Let Jesus inspire you. Here's the deal. Jesus already believes in you. Just believe in him. Believe in yourself again. Believe that all things are possible. Believe in that dream that maybe's died. So I just want to pray for you. I'm going to call it Pastor John right now so he could wrap this. But I just want to pray as we run out of here and have an epic 2017. God, I thank you for everybody in this house. Lord, I thank you for the hearts, Lord, that you're shifting and moving in right now. Lord, I just pray that you give back dreams and vision to those that have been lost. Lord, that you restore purpose that has been stolen. God, we rebuke the liar right now, the devil. And God, I pray, Lord, that this is the most fruitful life and fruitful year of their life, that others are inspired because they've seen the change. Let us be an inspiration and give all the glory to you. We give you honor this morning. And everybody said, amen.